Welcome to the podcast on Modal Jazz. This week in class, we're going to talk about two great musicians, Miles Davis and John Coltrane. But this podcast is going to focus on modal jazz as a technique. And that's very important because modal jazz really isn't a style. It's a technique, it's a process, it's a way of making jazz. And most of what we've talked about so far are regional or personal styles or period styles where there are a whole set of characteristics. In modal jazz, there's really only the one characteristic, which is that the players are using modes to create the melodies. And I'll explain what that is in this podcast. Most modal jazz that we're going to start with is going to sound a little cool, like what we're listening to here. This is Miles Davis, and you might be fooled for thinking this is just cool jazz, because it has a lot of the hallmarks of cool jazz. And in fact, if you guessed cool jazz, you'd probably get most of the points anyway. But let's figure out what makes this modal jazz. So modal jazz just means that the players are making up melodies based upon a single mode. So most of you know a mode, like C major. That's a mode. But I could also play the same scale starting on a different note. That would be this. That's just the white notes on any piano. So you can try that on your own. There are actually seven of them, right? You just start on any white note and you go until you hit the same note again. Those are the modes. There's seven modes, but you don't have to know that. All that matters is I'm essentially going to say, play me a solo based only on seven notes, only on the white notes. And this, the one that's most used is Dorian, which is starting on D and playing all the white notes until you get back to D. Now that probably doesn't make any difference to you in terms of how it relates to what we've been doing previously until I explain that in bebop, there are lots and lots of chords and lots of scales. So listen to in bebop, just remember the old I Got Rhythm. Every one of those things is a chord, so listen to it again. It's chord, 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 chord. So for the player, every single time I hit the piano, I have to think of a different chord, almost a different key. It's very, very chromatic. I use lots of black notes, and as I say, I'm always having to change the scale. So that could be it was very acrobatic, very macho to be able to play all those chords, but it could also get a little bit tiring. So players realize that they sometimes wanted to play less. So here's less, just one chord. Just one chord. D minor if you care, but you don't have to. I can just play the chord like this. So I can play the chord fast. Slow. You move it around a little bit. But it's all the same chord. So what the player does now is the player then has to play just those white notes. So I've got a rhythm section just playing this. So in some ways, this is the simplest form of jazz. If you were to take a jazz improvisation course with me, one of the first things we do is to play modal jazz because it's fairly simple. I can say, okay, play any white note on the piano you like. So if you're near a piano, just do that. From a teacher's perspective, it's very, very simple. But from a musician's perspective, it also offers some freedom from all of those chord changes, having to keep track of whether I'm playing here, or here, or here, or here, or there, or there, or here. All of those chord changes happening means I have to use a lot of brain power to keep track of where I am. In modal jazz, there's just one chord at a time, and you can play just those seven notes and just concentrate on making up melody. So on the one hand, it adds some freedom, but it's also kind of hard to make up something good, right? In some ways, it's a lot easier if you're just playing fast, right? Just to be able to keep up is something exciting. If I just keep up, I can hang on by my thumbs. That's pretty good. When all that's going on is this, I've got to now make music. And nothing ever changes. The background's the same all the time. It is, however, deceptively simple. It can get boring very quickly and very easily. And it really takes a master like Miles Davis to be able to create great melody on the spot with so few notes. So this week you'll spend some time listening to the album Kind of Blue. Two pieces you need to listen to. The first of them is called So What. So What is a piece that Miles put together for this famous recording session in 1959. And So What is deceptive partly because it's a 32-bar tune. So it's a little bit like the I Got Rhythm, only it has the same lick over and over again three times to make an A, and the B is the same as the A, only just up a half a step. So if I play the background, well, the melody for the bass you've probably heard. That's the melody. Repeats. So for the soloist, all you're going to hear for the A is the one chord. So here we go. That's one full chorus. Now, if you're a player, on the one hand, it's easy because you've only got to remember one scale at a time, but it's also easy to get lost because there's no sense of when the chords change to tell you, oh, that's an A. So the A and the first A and the second A are identical, and it's not possible to know which A you're in if you haven't been listening from the beginning. So What is a 32-bar tune. It's in song form, but it has only two chords. The A is one chord, and it lasts for the whole A, and then it repeats, and it lasts for the whole next A. The only way you know it's the bridge, or the B, is because it goes up a half step, and the same thing happens. Essentially, now we're going to play all the black notes instead of all the white notes, although there's still a couple of white notes, because there are only five black notes. And we go back down for the last A. So as a soloist, you've got a little less to keep track of. It's only one scale at a time, and that makes it modal. Let's listen now to the real thing. Here's Miles Davis, So What? And that's the end of the first A. It's the second A. Remember, it's also a little odd because the melody's in the bass. And here comes the bridge. And the melody's the same as it was for the A, it's just up a half step. to Miles' solo. Notice the simplicity and the melodicness of the solo. It's as if he always meant to play it that way. Still playing one scale, now it's a different scale. It's up a half step from the other scale. It just means he's playing black notes instead of white notes. Little mistake there. And he's back to playing just the white notes. Think about it, he's just playing white notes and still making this great melody. And that's the beginning of the second chorus of Miles' solo. All right, so now let's look at a piece called Flamenco Sketches. This time they're going to be five modes. They have to be played in sequence, but the player can determine how long to play one mode before moving on to the next. So compared to So What, which was still a 32-bar song form, and the modes and the length of the modes was pretty determined, there's even more freedom in Flamenco Sketches. So the first mode is C major. The player can play as long as he or she likes in C major. Then the second mode is A flat major. And then the third mode is B flat major. So you hear there are some changes of chords and keys. It's a sequence of scales. And about this time, Miles was listening to lots of flamenco music, and so he gets interested in this mode, which is called D Phrygian. So it's the same as the B flat, except that it starts on the D, which gives it a little different sound, just of where it starts. Flamenco sound. And then he goes finally to G minor. So the last three modes actually all have exactly the same notes. They all have, it's B flat major with two flats, but the bass note changes so that the first one is. Actually no new notes, just the sort of where home base is changes, what we call the tonic changes. So this is a lot more freedom, and let's hear what the players do with it. So after a few bars of piano introduction to set the key of C major, Miles goes first. Plays for four bars. And either give someone the signal, or they're just so used to playing in symmetrical phrases, the band moves to the second mode of A flat major. And Miles continues to play now in A flat. See if you can notice the next change. There's the next change. Plays four bars and that moves to D Phrygian. This you can tell because it has a little bit flamenco sound, a little exotic sound. And we expect him to move off. But in fact, he stays here, this time for eight bars. So you can remember, the player has the control for how long they stay in one place. So there are a couple different ways to look at this. On the one hand, Miles has created an entirely new way to play jazz, where the player has much, much, much more freedom. Well, since Miles has now completed his set, Coltrane now takes the next solo. In some ways now, the chorus has been replaced by this sequence. So each player is going to play one sequence, one time through all five of the modes. Now, maybe because Miles played 4-4-4-8-4, that's what Coltrane plays too. He spends exactly the same amount of time in every single mode. So in a sense, there's some freedom he's not really using. Coltrane could have played 3 bars in the first mode and then 17 in the second mode and 2 in the next. But he decides to stay with the 4-4-4, partly because he's probably used to it. It's actually pretty hard to play odd length phrases if you've been playing in the West all your life. There's another way to play modal jazz. That's the way Coltrane plays it. And that has 2 chords instead of 1 chord. So we've been listening to slow 1 chord over and over again. Then we go to the next chord. And we sit on that chord for a while. In My Favorite Things, John Coltrane uses just the 2 chords, the first 2 chords, and uses them as a vamp. But the 2 chords going back and forth, still make up a single modal pattern. So from the player's point of view, all they have to do is stay on that one scale while the piano player goes back and forth between the 2 chords, and they're still going to be all right. So while this is still using the same technique of modal jazz, the sound world is very, very different. Listen again to the vamp. Just 2 chords back and forth. Then the sound of the saxophone. Coltrane is playing a soprano sax, not the usual alto or tenor, and he also plays it in a kind of hard, aggressive way. In fact, the whole band has an edge to it that we didn't hear at all in the Miles Davis groups. It's Elvin Jones playing the drums, McCoy Tyner on piano. It's just a little bit more edgy. Instead of soloing over the melody or the chords, we don't hear My Favorite Things anymore. He just continues over and over again to solo over the vamp. And the vamp can go on as long as he likes it. And when he's done soloing, he goes back to playing this melody. So there you go. 2 very different ways to make modal music. So modal music can sound like a lot of things, but it always has some sort of repeating bass or chord that lets you know that you just have to play in one place. So if you've been to any of the after-class jams, you've heard modal jazz, because almost everything that group plays is a modal jam. Somebody sets up a groove, and everybody else plays over it. And sometimes we add a second mode to it, but it's usually just one mode, and then we play on it until we get bored and go do something else. So 2 different types of modal jazz. Remember, it's a process or a technique, and not really a genre. Have fun.